Hey, where's the epiphany? A duo-level process. One, we carefully reinforce central level of action, the difference between writing and doing, and the similar energy used in both. Two, we deny the central level and allow the spectator's perceptions of watching and participating.
The task is to detree the tree. Art is a reminding technique. Don't forget this act of a certain sort is going on. But most bad art makes us overlook our process of responding to our unbalanced state. We are taught to see objects, idols, rather than the perceptual act of watching.
Blake, I see through my eye, not with it.
Not development, not progression. Instead, display.
Truth equals what wants to be written, what wants to be composed.
The not there. The compositional principle is not anything goes, but only right, stage, that which allows itself to be deflected by the world, which world includes the act of writing, staging, of course. World equals what goes on, set and setting, i.e. the obsession which drives the creation into existence is deflected by bouncing off not obsessive fantasies or sleeping dream images that are not there. If that were done, all that would be shown is the aiming, but by bouncing off the various alternative realities that coexist harmoniously in the real world in the act of staging. Art, then, is a physical, time-bound, material representation of spirituality, and the experience of art corresponds to the consciousness expansion of authentic religion.
Totems tell the wire, these birds drum the lyre, spectres come sweeping through, silver strings tangle fine, midwind records sublime, strange hue closes his time, twin poles holds his train, paces to cots refrain. In the cards in the middle of the wood, in the drum deep cut, I tremble divine. In the cut in the middle of the wood, in the drum deep cut. I'm a puzzle and it goes.
the...
Now, down with you. Carlos picked up one of the bags, folded it in half, and placed it exactly in a precise spot. A humble pillow, he explained. But if I raise it 1 centimeter, you won't see a thing, and you'll be left abashed and ashamed. Stretch your bulk out on the floor and count off 19 steps. I complied with his ridiculous requisites, and at last he went away. Carefully, he closed the trap door. The darkness, despite a crevice which I discovered later, seemed total. And suddenly I realized the danger I ran. I had allowed myself to be buried by a madman after having drunk some poison. Behind the transparent bravado of Carlos was the intimate terror that I would not see the prodigy. To defend his delirium, to avoid knowing that he was mad, Carlos had to kill me. A confused malaise swept over me. I attempted to attribute it to my rigid posture rather than to the operation of a narcotic. I closed my eyes, opened them. Then I saw the Aleph. I arrive now at the ineffable center of my story. And here begins my despair as a writer. All language is an alphabet of symbols whose use presupposes a past shared by all the other interlocutors. How then transmit to others the infinite Aleph, which my fearful mind scarcely encompasses? The mystics in similar situations are lavish with emblems to signify the divinity. A Persian speaks of a bird that is in some way all birds. Alanus de Insumus speaks of a sphere whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. Ezekiel of an angel with 4 faces who moved simultaneously to the Orient and the Occident, to the North and the South. Not vainly do I recall these inconceivable analogies. They bear some relation to the Aleph. Perhaps the gods would not be against my finding an equivalent image, but then this report would be contaminated with literature, with falsehood. For the rest, the central problem is unsolvable. The enumeration, even if only partial, of an infinite complex. In that gigantic instant, I saw millions of delightful and atrocious acts. None astonished me more than the fact that all of them together occupied the same point, without superposition and without transparency. What my eyes saw was simultaneous. What I shall transcribe is successive because language is successive. Nevertheless, I shall cull something of it all. In the lower part of the step toward the right, I saw a small iridescent sphere of almost intolerable brilliance. At first, I thought it rotary. Then I understood that this movement was an illusion produced by the vertiginous sights it enclosed. The Aleph's diameter must have been about 2 or 3 centimeters, but cosmic space was in it without diminution of size. Each object, the mirror's glass, for instance, was infinite objects, for I clearly saw it from all points in the universe. I saw the heavy-laden sea. I saw the dawn and the dusk. I saw the multitudes of America. I saw a silver-plated cobweb at the center of a black pyramid. I saw a tattered labyrinth. It was London. I saw interminable eyes nearby looking at me as if in a mirror. I saw all the mirrors in the planet, and none reflected me. In an inner patio in the Calle Solar, I saw the same paving tile I had seen 30 years before in the entranceway to a house in the town of Fray Bentos. I saw clusters of grapes, snow, tobacco, veins of metal, steam. I saw convex equatorial deserts and every grain of sand in them. I saw a woman at Infernus whom I shall not forget. I saw her violent switch of hair, her proud body, the cancer in her breast. I saw a circle of dry land on a sidewalk where formerly there had been a tree. I saw a villa in Edroge. I saw a copy of the first English version of Pliny by Philemon Holland and saw simultaneously every letter on every page. As a boy, I used to marvel that the letters in a closed book did not get mixed up and lost in the course of a night. I saw night and day contemporaneously. I saw a sunset in Querétaro, which seemed to reflect the color of a rose in Bengal. I saw my bedroom with nobody in it. I saw in a study in Alkmaar a terraqueous globe between two mirrors which multiplied it without end. I saw horses with swirling manes on a beach by the Caspian Sea at dawn. I saw the delicate bone structure of a hand. I saw the survivors of a battle sending out postcards. I saw a deck of Spanish playing cards in a shop window in Mirzapur. I saw the oblique shadows of some ferns on the floor of a hothouse. I saw tigers, Mboni, bison, groundswells, and armies. I saw all the ants on Earth. I saw a Persian astrolabe in a desk drawer. I saw, the writing made me tremble, obscene, incredible, precise letters which Beatrice had written Carlos Argentino. I saw an adored monument in La Chacarita Cemetery. I saw the atrocious relic of what deliciously had been Beatrice. I saw the circulation of my obscure blood. I saw the gearing of love and the modifications of death. I saw the Aleph from all points. I saw the earth in the Aleph, and in the earth the Aleph once more, and the earth in the Aleph. I saw my face and my viscera. I saw your face and felt vertigo and cried because my eyes had seen that conjectural and secret object whose name men usurp but which no man has gazed on, the inconceivable universe. I felt infinite veneration, infinite compassion. You must be good and dizzy from peering into things that don't concern you, cried a hateful, jovial voice. Even if you rack your brains, you won't be able to pay me back in a century for this revelation. What a formidable observatory. Eh, Borges? Carlos Argentino's feet occupied the highest step. In the half-light, I managed to get up and to stammer, formidable. Yes, formidable.
Thank you.
and talk of all the things we did today. Here and laugh about our funny little ways while we have a few minutes to breathe. And I know that it's time you must leave, but darling, be home soon. I couldn't bear to wait an extra minute if you dawdle. My darling, be home soon. It's not just these few hours, but I've been waiting since I toddled for the great relief of having you to talk to. And now a quarter of my life is almost past. I think I come to see myself at last. And I see that the time spent confused was the time that I spent without you. And I feel myself in blue. So darling, be home soon. I couldn't bear to wait an extra minute if you don't. My darling, be home soon. Not just these few hours, but I've been waiting since I toddled for the great relief of having you to talk to.
just a noise centered everywhere. On the chill room tonight. On killradio.org in Los Angeles. It's about 2 a.m. Let's see, in the first part of the show, I was playing Nurse with Wounds live at Bar Maldoror, as well as Peter Dorabis, Quatuor number 2, or N2. Foom did soon. And the Haters with Scanner did Dead Batteries. The text in the beginning was called Garden Notes, and it was transcription of notes that I took for a production of a play by Richard Foreman I directed back in 1982 that I turned into an audio piece. My friends Andre and Kara from Germany, as Axiomatic Integration, did Once Again tune. Joanna Newsom and the YS Band did Cosmia. That was incredibly beautiful. Underneath, the BP Service did the Machine Prints Sound Maps. And sent to me an MP3, incredibly rare MP3 of David Koresh singing Madman in Waco, which I properly kept soft and in the background for most of it. The Haters, Death-Defying Sickness. The drum piece there that ended the first part was from the Machine Prints Sound Map. Dark Chemistry, Telegraph Harp, the words of Walt Whitman and Louise Bialik, and just incredible. The Haters, Strength Through Emptiness, is Big New Karkowski and Damian Romero, track 3 from 9 into 9, 9 before 9, track 3, mixed together with The Haters, Strength Through Emptiness. The Aleph by Jorge Luis Borges. Ergo Fizmiz, The Thousand Year Mix. Stan Getz, I'm Late. John Sebastian, Darling, Be Home Soon. That's a song for a musician on the road. K2 AMK and the Haters from Three Phenomena. This is the morning. A morning in August in Illinois country. Actually, my parents' backyard. I've gotten some very nice comments on email tonight. They make my head swell. Thanks very much for listening tonight and today to Kill Radio. And I'll be back next Saturday night for the Chill Room. Count on it. Meanwhile, you stay tuned.